It's Thursday, May 18th, 2017. You're listening to Last Time on Video Games, the show about retro video games, and sometimes some other things. This is episode 186, as exciting as a post office. Runtime for this episode is 1 hour and 12 minutes.
Hello and welcome to Last Time on Video Games, the podcast that hates the post office. My name is Jeremy.
Attacking aggressively with more energy than a can full of civet poo, I'm Tyler.
But I like the post office. They bring me cool stuff all the time. My name is Zach.
Are you sure it's not the Amazon drones?
No, I'm pretty sure it's the post office drones.
I've never gotten into Amiibos because I know if I buy one, I will have to buy them all. But my mother cursed me and bought me two.
Which ones, out of curiosity?
Rosalina and Golden Mario. I wanted Rosalina. I do not know why Golden Mario.
Well, I mean, I'd take it if I got one.
But anyway, I ordered $50 worth of Zelda Amiibos because I'm playing Breath of the Wild.
Specifically Zelda or Zelda franchise? Okay.
Two of them are Zelda. One is Link and one is, I guess two are Link. Two Zeldas and two Links.
One's a Wolf Link.
But I bought them when I started playing Breath of the Wild and the U.S. Postal Service has lost them.
Oh, wow.
Really?
That almost never happens.
Yeah, I've never had anything get lost.
Yeah, neither have I, but now I have. And so there are $50 worth of Amiibos in this game that I want for this game I'm almost done with in Limbo.
Although, did you see the DLC that they announced? I didn't. So there's been an option there literally since I got the game, and I only just clicked it recently. I'm like, oh, extra story content. This game had story content? So I might consider doing that, but until I know what both of them are, I'm probably not going to buy it.
It kind of depends because, like, the content that was in, for example, XCOM 2, I had the season pass, and they released two really, really cool things, but I also knew what they were.
Nintendo's announced what the first one's going to include. They did, like, 2 days ago, I want to say.
Okay.
It's going to have a tracker that shows where you've been on the map for the last 200 hours of gameplay.
Oh, like a heat map?
Yeah.
Neat.
It's got, like, a trail, so that's pretty cool.
That'd be useful for me to find the last, like, five shrines I'm missing.
Exactly. And then they're going to have, like, a trial area that as you complete it the Master Sword gets more powerful. It's like combat trials,
so kind of like the Cave of the Sword from like Wind Waker or whatever.
And then there were two other things they announced that I don't remember.
That sounds very much more like stuff that should have already been in the game if you're going to release it for paid DLC.
Like an extra dungeon though? Oh no,
it depends on how expansive it is, right?
Nintendo has historically, in my opinion, overcharged a little bit for their DLC.
That's because they don't know how to work it yet.
Yeah, it's like slightly more than I really want to pay, but I usually end up paying it anyway. Like, all the Smash extra characters were, like, just $2 more, really, than I really wanted to pay for them. So,
I don't even remember how much they were, so.
They were, like, $5 a character, or, like, 12 if you bought all three in a pack.
See, like, $5 a character seems right to me.
It might have been slightly more expensive than that, but, like, the entire thing ended up being, like, $2 or $3 and I really, or more than I really wanted to pay for it. But I guess now I have a Pocket Cloud, so that's useful.
All right, so we'll talk more about Breath of the Wild later. And after that, we will talk about the assignment Postal 2, which sure is a video game.
It is a video game.
That is true. Although, would it be better if it was VR?
I almost watched the movie just to see, and I was like, no, Jeremy, you don't have to. No one is making you. No one is paying you to either. See, that's why we need a Patreon, is so people can throw money at us to torture us with Postal 2.
I'd do a Rift Track-style viewing of Postal 2. That would be awesome.
Okay, so Zach, what have you been playing?
I've been playing quite a bit. It's actually kind of funny. After we did our podcast last week and I talked about Fire Emblem Heroes and bitched about how difficult it was to get Hector and whatnot, I now have two.
Two Hectors?
Yes.
Nice.
In the same summoning thing, I got a gold level Hector, and then the very next thing I summoned was another gold level Hector.
Sweet.
So I'm like, I guess I'm going to have two Hectors now because I don't really want to get rid of him. I don't know if I mentioned it on the podcast that if something went on sale, I was going to end up with a PS4.
I think you
did. Yeah, you listed like three things.
Maybe, but like, so I ordered Super Robot Wars V, right? It showed up on Monday.
You definitely mentioned that.
Yeah, it showed up on Monday. So I hug and fondle it, but and then open the case and look at it, and then wish I had a PS4. Okay. So, I went out and bought a PS4 on Sunday morning because Mass Effect Andromeda went on sale.
Oh, well, I was not expecting that to go on sale.
So how's that? On sale already?
It's not bad. That is actually the game I have the least time in right now. I've only got about an hour or so. I got through the first planet, so I'm not really wanting to talk very much about it. I put that one on hold because the other games that I got for the PS4 are games I haven't really played before, because I've already played a lot of Mass Effect and games in that genre and that vein. So I wanted to try something different.
Before we get to that, what do you think of the PS4? Since I don't know if I've ever really talked about mine.
I hate the controller. I don't like the loading tray, and it is a big black monolith, but I kind of like its styling. I don't like the controllers because the controllers are too small for me.
Are they any different than the like PS2 and I assume PS3 controllers?
They are different in that they have a touchpad on them, which is a pretty large button. I really like Final Fantasy 15 uses that as like the main menu button, and that's really nice, but most games I found don't really use it. So
I personally think the Xbox 360 controller is probably the best controller ever made.
But, I tend to agree, actually.
That one is just the right size, and the placement of the thumbsticks is a little awkward. I've actually had a couple of a minor moment of thumb fatigue.
Yeah, I can see that.
Well, because it's an awkward... One of the games I've been playing has a very awkward control scheme for me, because it involves a lot more of pressing a button in a weird spot.
So, back on the best controller of all time topic for a second, I would have agreed with you until recently. I ordered a Switch Pro controller for Zelda, because the like little awkward... controller thing they give you to put the Joy-Cons on makes it real small and cramped. I actually just ended up taking the Joy-Cons out of that and using them freeform, and that works really well. But I'd already bought this controller, and I like it more than the 360 controller. I wasn't sure until I was actually playing Postal with the 360 controller and then put it down and picked up the Switch controller to play some Zelda. And it is the 360 controller, basically, but it is noticeably lighter because it doesn't have a battery pack.
So you have a wired one anyway, but...
And then it has a D-pad that doesn't suck, and it's got just slightly bigger face buttons.
Yeah, so really the only thing I would change about the 360 controller, I mean, to be fair, I haven't experienced the wonder, apparently, that is the Switch Pro controller.
Yeah.
But, like, the only thing I would change about the 360 controller is the D-pad just, like, needs to be a little tighter.
Well, it's actually kind of amusing because basically everything else that is on controllers is based off the 360, which is why I say, yes, that is the best controller ever built. Because even, like you're saying, it formats it as a 360 controller.
Yeah.
Well, to be
which
fair.
Which is kind of... Yes.
The 360 controller was based off of the original PlayStation controller. Right?
No, the original 360 controller was based off the Xbox controller, which was based off the mammoth monolithic one that they've released for the game and just shrunk it down.
Which was based off the PlayStation one.
No, it's not.
The two analog sticks, the four face buttons, the two shoulder buttons.
With the exception of the joysticks, I feel like it's a lot closer to the Super Nintendo controller, actually. It's got that like four-button format that's more similar. It's got the... triggers. I guess the PlayStation and Super Nintendo controller are pretty close, though.
I just think the 360 controller does so much right, and that's actually one of the problems I have with the PS4 controller. Back to what we were talking about to start this.
It's because it has
the,
an
the
example.
The joysticks are in a... I hate where the left joystick is. I really hate where that is, because most games now, modern games, use the joysticks over D-pad for movement.
Yeah.
And the placement of that D-pad makes it feel more like the D-pad is the priority, when most games are going to use the thumbstick instead, so it puts it in a really weird spot.
How much of that is habituation, though? Because you're used to holding your hands in a certain way with a 360 controller, but I can see, like, if you just always angle your hands slightly further inward, like, it wouldn't feel that weird, right? Like, if you use it a lot, I don't actually know, because I haven't used a PlayStation controller excessively.
I definitely think the 360 controller is better, but I don't have much problem with the PlayStation controller. That said, I've mostly played Final Fantasy, which was designed with that controller in mind, and you don't really need to use both joysticks at the same time.
Although one thing that I do kind of dig is that the start button, in quotes, is actually labeled options.
Well, that's actually kind of nice, because that's what most games
use
it for.
All it does now is it's not start to pause. It's basically start to bring up your options menus. So I do kind of like that idea. It's got a share button, but I don't think I've used it yet.
I've hit it accidentally a few times. The great thing about the share button is you get to see whenever they've blocked a cutscene and prevented you from sharing it.
Mine has only said blocked cutscene.
Yeah, all cutscenes are blocked because Sony is real concerned about you sharing cutscenes, I guess.
I hate the loading thing because you can't really tell where the actual disk drive is because it's
too sleek.
It's stylishly things, so it's like there's like an overhang over the top of it, and it doesn't have a tray.
And like you said, it's monolithic, so you don't really know where on it it is. I don't care for that either. Really, the physicality of it, I really don't like. It's so big, it's just...
I kind of just, like, was like, okay, I'm going to put this disc in. And there it goes. And it's like, okay, I just kind of fiddled with it until it went in. Took me a little while to figure out how to do that. Like, I pushed the eject button like 3 or 4 times because I'm so used to an actual tray popping out.
Oh, so, and you didn't realize the disc had already like popped out? Because
no, I didn't realize there was no tray when it was empty when I first bought it.
I see what you're saying.
I mean, I did that with my Wii U as well, but pretty quickly got what was going on. But the Wii U, it's like an obvious central thing.
Yeah, it's obvious. It's right there in front of you, and it's obvious there's no door around it. With the PS4, I couldn't tell because of its inlaid nature. I thought it was just going to be backed in there.
I do like the way they're styled, though. Like
they are really cool looking, and I really like how you sync the controllers to it. You plug the things in.
Oh, and it just says, okay, plug it in,
it syncs it up, you're good to go.
That's how the Switch works as well, and I assume that's how the One works, but I don't know. I've never sunk a controller.
I don't really have any experience syncing controllers on either of the other consoles. The first next gen console that I've bought, but all I can say is if they all work that way, thank God, because syncing up and dicking around with those controllers on the previous generation was such a pain in the ass.
What are we, barbarians? Wireless syncing?
Well, I don't know if you've experienced this. The thing I hate the most about the PS4 controller is the battery life. Because I didn't really notice it until I got a Switch controller, and that thing lasts like 40, 50 hours. The PS4 controllers last, I feel like, a gameplay session and a half. And to be fair, I'm playing long RPGs, so those are long gameplay sessions, but I feel like I'm always out of power.
I also just always plug my controllers in after I'm done, though. So
the PS4 doesn't charge them if it's off. It'll charge them in sleep mode, but sleep mode causes this nice yellow glow to permeate my room and make sleeping impossible, as if I have a miniature sun sitting on my desk, so I do not utilize it often.
I don't have that problem because mine's in the basement.
Yeah.
I haven't noticed that. I got home from work at about 4 o'clock yesterday. I played until about 10:30, not charging the controller at all. I plugged it in when I went to bed, but it was like a bar down.
Meanwhile, my Wii U controller will have died twice during that same time period.
The Wii U controller is bad. The thing is, it's so bad I'm always charging it, so it's never a problem.
Mine's plugged in.
Yeah.
I was initially just going to be like, yeah, I'm just going to always have my PS4 controller plugged in because I'm right there. I'm like right next to the console. But then I was shifting around in my chair and accidentally pulled the USB cord out.
It's also got a real short USB cord. That's another problem with it, is the Wii U, not only does it the Switch, not only does the controller last longer, not only is it easier to charge because in sleep mode it doesn't bring off this huge glow, but also the cord is long enough that I could play with it if I wanted to.
It's not a GameCube controller.
but I haven't noticed that issue with the charge times. That doesn't mean they don't exist. That just means I haven't
seen it.
I haven't even had it a week yet. I got it on Sunday. But other than that, like, I like it. Just as a preliminary, it's set up real nice. It seems to get a good signal from my router, which being in the far side of my house means that sometimes my internet connection can be spotty from those, with the exception of my desktop, because that's hardwired in.
The only thing I really wish it did was, I wish you could set up your home menu, kinda. The way it is, games get pushed further back the longer it's been since you've played them, which makes sense, but I kind of wish I could arrange them in more of a grid instead of this line. But that's not a major complaint.
One thing that I have loved is that the put into sleep mode, I can turn it back on and then immediately resume whatever game I'm playing.
Yeah, and that's a feature common to all three consoles. Like I said, my Switch, I find that amazing.
This is the first interaction I really have with it.
So I play a lot on the 3DS, so it seems baffling to me that like actual consoles haven't had this for decades.
So I'm really loving that.
So what games are you loving on it?
Well, the first one I've played a little bit of, like I said, was Mass Effect Andromeda. Yes, I played it. I haven't got enough into it to really formulate a great opinion.
So I've heard it's pretty okay.
That's what I have heard as well. It does have a nice little thing where you can log on to your like EA BioWare account and download somebody else's writer. If somebody else wanted to spend hours in the character creator and make a really good writer or, you know, good looking character, you can just download that appearance onto your character.
I'm sorry, writer?
The main character's last name is Ryder.
Oh, okay.
It's like a shepherd.
It's like a shepherd.
Yeah, shepherd, okay. Or hawk. This one's Ryder.
Hawk?
Hawk is the main character of Dragon Age 2.
Oh,
same situation.
Yeah, no, I haven't played Dragon Age 2 yet. Okay,
gotcha. His first name is Endymion, of.
No, it is not. After that, I popped in Super Robot Wars V, and I am loving this game.
So Zach sent me just like random ass things earlier. I'm like, what's a Vang Ray? Apparently it's a mech, first of all. Second of all, it's chibi adorable in this game, and it's awesome.
It is. That's just what it looks like, because the Vang Ray is a Super Robot Wars special. This is the game it appears in.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the protagonist's mech in this game.
Gotcha.
I have not played this game yet, by the way. I've only looked at the back of it through the shrink wrap.
All of them are kind of chibi adorable. Like, I have on my squad, I have Vilkas, which is the main character of Cross Engine Ride. I have the Strike Freedom, the Infinite Justice, the Destiny, the Crossbones. And when they're all standing next to each other, I can't tell which is which. Because they're all like Fire Emblem style, zoomed way out. I see a bunch of red, blue, and white guys and I can go, I'm going to move Kira and his mech over here. And why am I clicked on the Zeta Gundam? Oh, right. Kira's over here.
The grunts aren't dead.
I actually haven't used his Kill the Grunts button yet.
Does he actually have that power?
I think he does.
He didn't, Jay.
But it takes so long to charge the thing I think it is that I haven't used it. But there's so many series, and I think Jeremy mentioned it when he was talking about Jay, where you end up with the situation of, I found myself with the main characters from Double Aught Gundam, the crew of the Nadasco B, my character, and the Gundam Crossbones, and from something called like Might Gain series, I'm not familiar with it, fighting robots, and then the crew of the Tuatha De Dananan out of Full Metal Panic showed up to help me, and then dragons showed up.
Well,
this is weird, but strangely still makes sense. Huh.
Well, you know, dragons, they just fly out of space.
I'm on a planet right now. And, that's the Cross-Ange thing, is they fight dragons.
Oh.
Considering the full title of it is Rondo of Angels and Dragons.
I mean, and Evangelion is in this, so presumably angels are gonna start showing up and probably team up with dragons. You're gonna have, like, Second Impact riding a dragon.
I'm really interested to see how things are gonna turn out on that front, because I know the plot lines of a couple of series, but not very many of them. I actually had the Battleship Yamato from Space Battleship nice. Yamato. I have presently lost said battleship.
Due to explosions?
Due to it being taken away from me. I got sucked through like a wormhole and I got separated from my crew.
So plot reasons.
Plot reasons separated me from my ship. At the beginning of it, you pick between a male and a female protagonist. I went with the female protagonist because she is a rookie. Well, it is the rookie and I've never played the series before. And I rather enjoy turning that mecha stereotype on its head where all the pilots are teenage boys.
There was that one show, I can't actually think of any offhand.
Cross-Ange. I'm having a lot of fun with it. I turned off the combat animations, except in specific instances, because they take forever to get through. Some of them, it's like, I attack. Now I'm going to go eat dinner, and by the time I get back, it may be done. This is really true of the battleship attacks.
Well, I mentioned earlier that I watch all of the Vang Ray's special attacks, and I think there are like 6 or 7 of them, and that video was like 4.5 minutes long. I'm like, wow, okay.
Yeah.
I've currently only got 4 attacks on the Vang Ray.
But see, that's the problem with that is one of the really cool things about Super Robot Wars is whenever a character from a series attacks, the background music changes to that series theme.
That's actually pretty awesome.
Yeah, so you lose out on that.
It made me sad, but still, I'm like, you know, this is really cool, but I'd like to finish a level before I turn 35. And if I don't, I don't think I will. I'm really having a lot of fun with it. Like I said, the sheer level of consistency they managed to have with all these weird series getting together.
Yeah, how many characters are there, like, as a rough estimate?
I think there were 95. I looked at the total. It was something like that.
Holy!
And you know, some of them are like supporting characters.
Still.
Some of them are your DaCostas.
I don't know exactly how many. I have quite a few mobile suits, and I'm kind of running into the problem where it's like, yeah, Mao from Full Metal Panic, you, Kurz, and Sosuke from the same series, they all have this really cool combo attack if you're all in the battle together. I have literally no reason to use you. There's no reason to use Mao because she's a mid-range specialist, and it's like, I can do mid-range things. I look over at the Freedom, go, yeah, okay. The Justice, yeah, okay. My guy, yeah, all right. Crossbones, I think I'm good for mid-range combat. I think I got that covered. So you kind of run into that problem where you have a lot of these other series where basically just boils down to who's your favorite character.
Although I could see this having a lot of replay value, like if you wanted to play it again and like do an all one series challenge run or something.
But you can't really do that because there aren't enough characters from it, and you don't get enough of those same characters in certain levels. I mean,
that's unfortunate.
Once you got them, you could probably do an all Crossand run because there's like six characters from that, just where I am, because you get the entire squadron.
So that actually brings up an interesting question, and Jeremy might have an answer to this. Who pays who for the right to appear in this game?
Bandai owns most of them already. And the ones they don't, they own the video game rights to.
Okay.
Is usually how it works. That's why it's never been released in America, and they released it in this weird way, because the licensing deals over here are crazy. There are some weird ones, like I don't know how they get Evangelion, but also copyright law is more lax in Japan as well.
Okay.
Yeah, technically, this is a Japanese game, but it was made with English subtitles and was totally don't import this, guys.
Please.
Level of
it's restriction. Just for Singapore. Wink.
Yeah. I'm having a lot of fun with it. The combat could be better. Like, I haven't run into a place where I was significantly challenged. I mean, the last level I was on, Lunamaria nearly got shot down, and Beecha nearly got shot down. But Lunamaria was probably some bad luck and misplacement on my part, and Beecha sucks, so it's hard to say. But Kira's still too much of a badass. Like, the game is quite fun. Like, I have all these main characters and characters I enjoy. My three battleships are the Nadasco B, and then the main ship from Gundam Doublelot, and then the Twatha Day to Danon, which is a submarine, which is now modified for space flight.
Obviously.
Somehow.
We see space and underwater are practically the same.
Yeah, I mean, you have to have airtight, maintain pressure. Yeah, so practically the same.
It's actually rather amusing because they specifically reference in like the briefing for that about the Crossand craft are not airtight. And I'm going into space and they talk about how they've modified them so that they're now airtight. And if they get hit, they could die from decompression. One of the attacks for the Vilcus switches back into like its bike, hover bike mode, which is totally exposed. So it's like, okay. All right.
Cause space magic.
Cause space magic.
Wait, so I assume because Eva's in this game, you have Shinji.
I haven't gotten there yet. Okay. I don't have the Evangelion units yet.
Okay.
I really do look forward to getting them because I kind of want some of my main characters to flap Shinji.
Like, whoa. I said, I want to see Asuka and Lacus hang out.
I have a group of characters that I really want to see interact with the Evangelion, some of the Evangelion characters, because I think it'd be pretty fantastic. But it's hard to say at this point, so.
Are there cutscenes in this game?
What do you mean?
Are there, like, animated cutscenes, or is it all dialogue? Because Jay was all dialogue, but Jay was also a Game Boy Advance game.
There are some cutscenes. It's hard to say. A lot of the, like, quote-unquote cutscenes that you'd have are done through just dialogue trees or dialogue interactions, like, I guess, a visual novel.
Yeah, Jay was like that.
But there are some elements that have cutscenes in them, like firing the wave cannon on the battleship Yamato for plot reasons. I couldn't actually use it as a in-game combat item. It was just a plot item, basically. But yeah, most of the cutscenes are just dialogue. I'm okay with that.
There's so much dialogue, it would be hard to do otherwise. I was just curious.
Yeah, I mean, they did leech a couple of scenes, I think, from the series that came from. Like, the Yamato launching, I think, actually comes off of the Battleship Yamato series or something like that.
Could be, but that's also a really old series, so they might have reanimated it. There also could be a newer version of it they took it from. And or does it look really old?
It's hard to tell. I can't remember exactly.
Does it look like Speed Racer?
I don't think so. I think they might have reanimated that one. But, like, there's actually a scene from Crossand where Vilcus activates basically the first time, and that one looks like they just pulled it off the disc from that series. So it's hard to get your hands on because you have to import it.
It's not that hard. Buy it from a dude on eBay. There's more than one of them.
Or possibly a dude on Amazon.
I bought it from a dude on Amazon. So it took it a little while to get to me, but that's postcode.
I was
going to
say, at least
stuff.
The post office didn't lose it.
Yeah, at least they didn't lose it.
So what else have you been playing, Zach?
The other big game that I was playing after getting the PS4 was Persona 5.
I also started Persona 5, but Zach, you have not played any Persona yet, so.
So really quick, I mentioned earlier that I didn't know that the game had come out, but it totally occurred to me. I saw a bunch of memes with a bunch of characters that had, like, the battle wheel come up on. I guess I was wrong. I already knew it was out.
Yes, you were wrong. I like it, but does it take forever to get started? Like, you start in medias res where your guys are heisting someplace. They don't really explain it right now. I presume it will explain it later. But
And then you're captured by the Tokyo police, by which I mean all of them.
Yes, all of them. They're like, how many guys do you think we need to capture this one dude? All of them. Bring in some guys from Nagasaki and all these other
Odaiba. We gotta get some guys from Odaiba in here.
Let's borrow a few from Korea. Because, like, your guy walks out of this, or jumps out of a window into the street, and there's just, like, this legion of cops. And he goes, ha-ha!
There's a dynasty warriors of cops.
There's a dynasty warriors with of cops. He goes, ha-ha, I'm going to go up this fire escape. And he goes up this fire escape ladder, and then there's another dynasty warriors worth of cops on this fire escape. Like, it is wall to wall. You know, it's not a dynasty warriors worth of cops. You know what it actually is? It is a payday's worth of cops.
So the entire population of Washington, D.C. shows up.
Yes. It's like, jeez, I have a pistol and a knife. What the hell do you think I do?
This game was described to me. I don't exactly agree with it, but the framing device is you're being interrogated by, I guess she's the investigator. She seems kind of like she's your lawyer, but I think she's just like a good cop.
I think she's a hybrid of investigator and lawyer because
works for the DA or something.
I've come up with another instance where she seems to have like that kind of hybrid investigator lawyer.
She's like a prosecutor and or a defender.
She's a Phoenix Wright.
Yeah, she's a Phoenix
Actually,
Wright.
That's
lawyer.
What I was thinking.
Yeah, that's
she's
what
a
I was
Phoenix
going
Wright.
For.
But anyway, this game was described to me as you are being interrogated and your options are shut up or say nothing. And then while that's happening, you're flashing back to what's happening and you ask what's going on and they either say shut up or they don't tell you.
I'm really enjoying the game. I had a minor moment kind of medium into the cat and or later on into the castle where I lost 2 hours worth of progress.
Yeah, that sounds like some Persona.
Because in the castle, you can't actually save except in specific safe rooms. And I saved and then pushed my luck a little bit too far.
Okay.
So does this game have mechanics to encourage you to do that? Because one of my favorite parts, especially about Persona 3, is since you have limited day space, there's a lot of encouragement to push your luck and grind up and get as far as you can in a single day. Is there anything to encourage that, or did you just end up doing it because you got a little careless?
Partly because I got careless. I don't think there's a built-in mechanic for it. I mean, when you get into one of those safe rooms, you can talk to your party members to find out, you know, how is everybody? What's the plan? I don't know what happens if your party members get tired.
Did they bring that back?
Guess.
Because there's a tired mechanic in 3 I really liked that they took out in 4.
Because you can ask your party members, hey, is everybody doing okay? And I was always generally leaving when my party members said, no, I'm tired. We should leave. I'm starting to run out of gas.
Okay. In Persona 3, it made them more likely to miss and more likely to get critically hit.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it still works that way.
I'm not sure, but I'd have to look at that because I don't know if they actually presented it. But I gotta say, I really like the main character's duds. Like in
I love the costume design.
He's a tuxedo Max.
It's great.
It's great.
Well, I actually got a very much more like Matrix type vibe.
He does have like the kind of dustery. It's not leather. That's why I didn't think Matrix, but
yeah,
I can see that.
He's got this long duster and like black pants and stuff. Like he looks like a high class burglar.
Yeah, no, Jeremy sent me the announcement trailer for it however long ago. I'm like, I want to play this game based only on these costumes.
Well, it's kind of funny because you have your guy who looks like that, looks kind of like a professional. One of your party members looks like a biker. Like, that's what he is dressed as. He's got biker leathers.
As you do.
His ranged weapon is a shotgun.
Wait, what is your ranged weapon?
A pistol.
Yeah, oh, well. The ranged weapon mechanic is new, and I'm interested to play with it because it's in like sort of the opening segment, which unfortunately doesn't tutorialize, but I haven't gotten it in like the main game yet.
So your ranged weapons, you have limited ammo.
Yeah,
that it says you can get more of in the as you go in the dungeons, but you can't really replenish it other than that. I haven't seen it. I also don't use them very often. I've used my main characters because there's a bunch of enemies in that first castle that are weak to it. and knocking them all down and then being able to take them all out in one shot is really how
Persona
useful.
Works.
And one of the other things, you knock them all down and then you can hold, you get a hold up mechanic where you can literally threaten your enemies with guns to join you or just wipe them out or get stuff from them.
I'm excited to play with that. I hope this game is really heisty in feel. I don't know if it's going to be or not, but that is my hope, given all the aesthetics.
We will see. I mean, I don't know how much I want to talk about it, just because of the fact that you haven't played it very far.
I appreciate that.
There is a idea that I really liked because of how it does relate to that kind of heisty feel.
Like, I basically want them to all be analogs for Lupin the Third's gang. I don't think that's what's going on, but that is my hope.
I don't know. I actually mentioned to Kevin when I first watched the opening cutscene. I don't know if you watched
the
cutscene. And I was thinking a little bit about it because I can't remember exactly what it was. It might have been we were talking about the Cowboy Bebop theme song a little while ago. And I was watching it going, you know, I think the Cowboy Bebop theme would actually go with this opening really well.
I actually don't like the opening song, so it might go better. I can definitely see that as sort of a heist prepare thing. This is my least favorite of the three openings of the Persona games I've seen. It's still pretty cool, though.
I really liked it. I mean, that's possibly because it's the first one I've ever played. But I was talking to Jeremy a little bit about this on the way down. You can rent DVDs to help boost your stats. And the first one that I rented was the Y Files, which had Agent Skulzy in it.
What I like is that, like the previous games, you have like social stats and your charm starts out as existent.
Yes, you're extant when you first start off. So like, you have to boost all these other stats. One of the other kind of cool things about it is that at least in one case, they're like, hey, how many colors would it take to have this pattern all done without having any of them touch each other? And I'm looking at it going, this seems like a math question. I'm not a math person.
It's called a coloring problem.
Yeah. And so pushing the touchpad button let me see what everybody else said.
Oh, so there's like a social, like everybody else in your party or like everybody else on the internet?
Everybody else playing the game hooked up to PlayStation Network.
That's kind of neat.
So I borrowed knowledge.
Do you get pinged for cheating?
No.
Huh. That, I'm not sure how I feel about that. I would probably just not use it, frankly. But
I mean, it's entirely an opt-in thing. I used it because I'm like, I don't know the answer to this question.
Although, if it's a lot more squishy questions, like, one of my favorite things about playing The Walking Dead was getting to see how everyone else behaved throughout the game. So, if there's squishier questions like, what's your favorite spaghetti sauce?
No, those are actual, like, there's an answer.
Yeah.
There's a right answer.
I've only seen one so far, and I didn't like it because it was Plato thought that the human soul was made of these three things. And the third one I've always heard is reason. But the translation was logic.
Oh, I got that question right.
I did too, but I looked at it. I'm like, well, reason isn't one of the options. This is closest. I hope that's what they're going for.
I got two of them. I've gotten two of them wrong, which is one of the reasons why I was also kind of curious, because it's I can't remember exactly what the buttons was labeled, but I'm like, what does this do? So I clicked it and went, oh, that'd be really useful, because some of these questions I don't freaking know. That I had to walk through. There was a question regarding like a Japanese saying. And they brought that up, and I'm like, well, I'm going to get this one wrong because I don't know what this is. But they actually walk you through the answer. So it's not quite as level of, we're going to screw you sideways because you don't know this.
Well, and to be fair, the other Persona games, typically you get asked those questions in class. And then they get asked again on the midterm or the final. And so if you get them wrong the first time, the teacher berates you and tells you the answer. But if you get them wrong the second time, you
get
too poorly
impacted
on your midterm. Yeah.
I haven't gotten far enough to encounter like midterms or anything like that, but you know, it's kind of a weird one. It's hard to talk a lot about it because part of the thing that was really cool about the whole thing is Jeremy's not far enough.
Yeah. I'm wondering, so far I've only seen two of the main characters' personas, and they don't seem so much mythology inspired as early 20th century literature inspired. The main characters is Arsène Lupin. The gentleman thief that Lupin the Third is based on. And then Morgana's is Zorro.
Okay.
So I'm wondering if this theme is going to continue.
Yeah. Who's Conan? Because that would be awesome.
I know the answer to this question, but,
does someone get Conan? Just,
I'm
yes
not
or no?
going to tell you one way or the other.
Yeah,
because
I asked
Jeremy
him
hasn't. Yeah. Jeremy asked me not to.
Okay.
So I'm not going to,
but I'm like, is Sherlock going to show up?
Oh, that would be sweet. Well, he was like, late 19th century, right?
Yeah, yeah, but it would, like, Arsene Lupin is 1905, and Zorro is, I think, 1908 or 1910, I can't remember.
Okay, so approximately the same time period.
Yeah.
I would recommend it from what I've played so far. I really enjoyed it. I've actually completed the first castle. I mean, take that for what you will. I don't know how far into that game that actually is. I don't know how many castles there are in total.
Well, how many hours do you think you've dumped into it? Because, like, these games have a more or less set runtime.
It's hard to say, because there was at least 2, maybe 3 hours where I was actually playing this and playing League with Kevin and Jason.
Okay, so not necessarily paying active attention to this
game. So, like, it might have been up when I was on, like, a menu screen or something like that while we played a 20-minute League game. Guys, I really like playing League with you, but I just got this shiny thing and I want to play with this, so I'm going to bow out and play Persona 5.
That's why I've been offline so much recently. I just Breath of the Wild has just consumed all my free time.
So this is my least favorite of the Persona games I've played so far, but I've just started it. It has a lot of time to grow on me. Like, Persona 4 didn't actually grow on me until literally the final boss battle. So this game has plenty of time to... It's real good. That's all I can say.
You would probably like it based on what I know about you, Tyler, but also really bad about recommending things to people.
No,
like,
I really want to play Persona 3.
I bought Super Robot Wars V purely based on Jeremy's recommendation. Unfortunately for you, I can't loan it to you or anything like that, given the fact that you don't own a PS4 and it's not available.
You could probably emulate it.
It might be tricky. PS4's pretty new.
That is true. We'll see if there's an emulator.
It's not available on, obviously, any of the other consoles or computer.
Yeah. Atlas doesn't want to put Persona on PC for some reason.
Or, you know, you could just buy a PS4.
I could, but man, I just feel really dirty buying game consoles.
But the PS4 has so much cool stuff on it.
Like Persona 5.
Persona 5. 5. Super Robot Wars V.
Fantasy 15.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about Final Fantasy 15. Like, I really... That game doesn't have a PC port, does it?
Near really Automata.
I don't know what that is.
Near Automata?
Yeah.
It's one of the big name games that is released recently for the PS4.
Is that the one that 2B?
Yes.
Is from? Okay. Yeah. No.
Horizon Zero Dawn.
Yeah, I've heard it's really good, and I've heard Horizon Zero Dawn is like less good Breath of the Wild.
It's also Near Automata is also on PC.
Okay. Well,
that's pretty much all I've been playing. So, what have you been doing, Jeremy?
Well, Persona 5, like I said, and then Breath of the Wild. Finished the third of the Divine Beasts, and then went and got all the memories.
Well, which one is the third for
me,
you?
The camel.
Okay, that was the one I did first, and I think I did them in the wrong order, because the camel was easily my favorite of them. So
I did the elephant first, then the bird, and then the camel. What?
And you will be disappointed having not done the Goron one first, because so I've done all four now. And the Goron one is by far the easiest in terms of puzzles.
It seems like it's the hardest to get to, though. I guess you can just buy the fireproof elixirs, like, on the way to Death Mountain.
Oh, I just bought the armor.
Oh, well, I couldn't find the armor until I got to the Goron City.
Yeah, no, it's in the Goron City, but it only took me, like, one fireproof elixir to get up there.
Well, yes, but I didn't know where the fireproof elixirs were, so I didn't have access to
them. I just had all these fireproof lizards. I'm like, I wonder what happens if I boil these.
I literally never found one, so.
Yeah, well, there's a guy who wants 10 of them, and then there are, I think it's actually the Goron armor itself requires 10 a piece to upgrade at some point, so you need 40 of them, which is a lot of lizards. But yeah, no, the iguana thing is easily the lamest of the divine beasts, and I was a little disappointed with that.
I've kind of been disappointed with all of them, to be honest. Like, the elephant trunk puzzle is a cool idea, but I was also sick when I was playing that one, and I knew how to solve one of the puzzles, and I tried it like 6 times, and I just couldn't execute what is literally just putting a crosshair on a thing and hitting A. I couldn't do it, and so I was convinced there was another solution. It's the easiest thing to do in the world. My head was just splitting open, and that made it very difficult.
I mean, you saw me try and use the slingshot in Ocarina of
That's
Time,
true. It was very much like that, yes. Except for that I was convinced that slingshots could not physically work and were not possible, and I tried other solutions.
Now, I found the camel had the puzzles I had to think about the most, just because I had to, like, arrange everything because it's got the 3 rotating pieces. So I think it's the most complex one.
Is that just because it's the first one you did, though? Because as I was used to rotating stuff in Divine Beasts, like, definitely it has 3 components, but I didn't find it especially challenging.
That's fair. Well, and I guess my problem is none of them are especially challenging, and that's a little... They're easier than the entire rest of the game, and that's a little disappointing.
Yeah, and they don't have, like, the space awareness element that, like, Ocarina of Time or Majora's Mask dungeons have, where you have to, like, think about how the dungeon connects to solve puzzles.
Yeah, literally just gives you a 3D map, which, I like that, but it worked better in Metroid Prime.
I got the Master Sword, and I almost wanted to quit the game right there, just because, like, that is one of the most accomplished feelings I've had in a video game, because I didn't know if it was going to work or not, and I tried to let off the button because I thought I was going to die, but instead Link pulls the sword out and swings it around, and I get the memory.
I did the same thing. I had exactly a quarter heart left or something like that. It was pretty good.
And then I went to that Forgotten Temple I talked about last time, and was like, you're done now, Guardians.
I am so glad you told me about the ability to reflect Guardian beams, because that's made fighting those so much easier.
I need to practice. I can't do it consistently yet. I think I need to practice before I go take on Ganon.
It took me, like, getting hit 10 times, but I think I can do it on command now. So, because what I had been doing for the walking ones before was, like, hopefully waiting until they stop moving erratically enough so that I could hit them in the eye and go take them down.
Do you know about the Master Sword beam?
Yeah. I only learned about that by accident, though. But yes, when you have full hearts, you can Master Sword beam away.
Yeah.
I'm only 5 shrines down now, so my Master Sword beam goes, like, for freaking ever. It goes farther than most arrows now, which is kind of neat.
Anything else you want to say about Breath of the Wild, Tyler? That's kind of all I had. There are some criticisms of it I kind of want to lay out. There's actually some stuff I want to talk about. It. Do you find it weird that people call you Link now?
No, not really. That never really bothered me, although you could easily have written his name out of the game and let you choose your own name. Okay. So.
Do you think Nintendo should have had a female option, and it's ridiculous that they don't?
Okay. I would have preferred to have one.
And I talked about last time how I don't think this game is that comparable to Skyrim, and I don't really love Skyrim, but a thing I noticed about Skyrim is that I don't listen to the opinions a lot of female gamers just because I don't have a lot of that input, but all of them seem to have played Skyrim. And I think the reason is because you can choose a female avatar. And I think it's, you know, a small thing. And the game is otherwise, you know, good. But I think that's a reason why that's such a common experience. And I think design they have for Zelda in this game is really good. And there's no reason that couldn't have been a playable one.
Yeah, no, that's actually entirely true, especially because the relationship between Link and Zelda is not at all romantic. At least I didn't get that vibe.
Isn't there a female, like, Link-type Linkle. Character yeah, out of Hyrule Warriors?
Yeah, her name is Linkle. She was introduced for Hyrule Warriors.
So why not just use her if it's not really a romantic relationship between Link and Zelda?
To be fair, Hyrule Warriors started development after this game. So... That's the only thing I can think of. But you could do that. You're right. I didn't think that, but I just didn't think of that because I really like the design of Zelda. She seems like she should. So,
I'm kind of wondering if they ran out of development time and were like, man, we really need to push this game.
To be fair, you would have had to do new armor designs. You would have had to work on the model more. Yeah. And I think you would have to, like, flip things. So there's either a Prince Zelda or Link as the Prince, and you would have had to redo the memories, I think.
Really? Do you really think that there needs to be, like, do you really think Zelda needs to be the opposite gender of the player character? Because
I think it adds something.
I didn't get that vibe.
I mean, I don't know how much it would have changed for me, because I didn't like the game based on gameplay, but I always like having that option. It's weird that, like, Persona 5, I didn't think anything about it, but when I loaded up Super Robot Wars V and had the option, I was like, ooh, this is really cool, and I'm really happy about this.
Yeah, give it.
Persona 3 is the only one that gives you a female option, and they only did it in the PSP version, and that's weird to me, too.
Given the option, I will almost always play a female character. Oh, no.
I will almost always play male, but I always appreciate the option. And like I said, I really like the Zelda design. Maybe it's because of that amiibo that's coming, I hope. And, I can't have it. And so maybe I'd like to play with that in a video game. But I can see her with a bow, and in my head, it looks really cool.
In my personal, like, gameplay, I'm usually with Tyler, but that's largely because it's pretty obvious that a good chunk of these games, like, yes, our male protagonist is going to go save the day. And it's like, not this time, bitches. I find that amusing in probably more ways than I probably should. But it's like, this makes me happy. And so,
to be fair, Nintendo's never been super, like...
You will play our way and you'll like it.
Yeah, a lot of their games are, I think... This is one of the most choose-your-own-adventure-y games I think Nintendo has ever done, and I think the concept is still a little new to them.
Well, yeah, definitely. It just seems weird to me. It seems like now is the time to introduce that option, right? Especially since this is a thing people have been asking for 10 years. You've seen that, like, Clockwork Zelda, like, fan art collection, basically, right?
Yeah, that was promoted by Brentalfloss a while ago.
That would have had Zelda as the main character.
I still want them to make that game. That's a setting I am super into, so... Although, this is actually kind of that setting. It's, like, Lost Magitek thing.
I think it would have been a good idea. I mean, yeah, it would have been more work, probably, but this is a flagship game. If you're going to do it now.
Well,
it just seems like a missed opportunity.
Yeah. And like I said, I think I'm wondering if they just ran out of development time.
And that would have been cool DLC.
Yeah, I guess.
Like, it still seems like they're relegating it to second class, but if it's because they ran out of time, that's a cool thing to do as DLC.
Yeah, I was going to say that. That is actually the optimal time, especially since I think, the second one's supposed to land in August? Yeah, plenty of time to develop more models for that.
All right, anything else you want to talk about, Tyler? Breath of the Wild or otherwise?
So speaking of criticisms of Breath of the Wild, but now that I'm getting kind of towards the end game, because I'm kind of a completionist, if I ever play this game through again, I'm probably just going to try to speedrun it or do, like, a minimal hearts run or something.
I really wonder what a speedrun of this game looks like. I'm afraid it's not very interesting, because I think the bulk of it is the tutorial, but...
I think the bulk of the speedrun of Breath of the Wild is they do the tutorial, then they immediately go kill Ganon.
Well, yeah, and that's why I don't think it's very interesting, is most of the speed stuff is probably shaving stuff up the tutorial. I agree, but that's why it's interesting to me, is I like that beeline option thing.
Do you not need the Divine Beast to fight Ganon?
No, you can just go.
I just assumed... Okay, well then.
You don't need anything. You don't need the Master
Tree
Sword.
Tree branches.
Yeah, you can go in with two arrows and a tree branch. I think it's probably pretty hard. I haven't tried it.
Secret OP. He tree branch killed Ganon in one hit.
Yeah, that's the true weapon that banishes evil.
He's got the... same weakness as Green Lantern. He can't affect wood.
So because I'm getting towards the end game and because I'm kind of a completionist, I kind of want to upgrade all the armor. The problem is this is getting super grindy, and these, like, awesome dragons, which, to be fair, still look really cool. But, like, I was literally in awe of them the first time I found them.
And now they are just deposits for you.
Yeah, now they're just things I need to farm items for. So I'm like, okay, well, I know this one dragon shows up at this place about one in the morning. So I teleport off to this rock face about midnight, hang there, and then jump down. I'm like, okay, I'm on the optimal route for hitting Dinroll in the head right now. And there's my horn shard, and I'll do this again tomorrow.
I had a similar problem when I was... playing Skyrim. The first encounter I had with a dragon was really cool because it came out of the sky and it was this epic battle and brawl around the like area where you could get the shout. And then later on, it was just, oh, there's a dragon. Time to get me some dragon bone and dragon scales. Yeah,
even the third or fourth time, but it kind of loses the grandeur a little bit.
Yeah, I'm of two minds on that. One, I think, I don't want to say you're playing the game wrong, but I think part of the genius of Breath of the Wild is since you can kill Ganon at any time, you only need to do what interests you.
That is true. Unfortunately, this interests me, but gathering items doesn't interest me, but I have to gather the items to upgrade my armor.
That said, I like the idea of you needing the dragon scales for the most powerful armor, but at the same time, having to get a bunch of them is... it's inevitably going to create the situation you're in.
Well, like the champion's tunic is actually the most powerful, I think, chest armor.
I want some ferocious horns for that, but yeah, I don't want to go...
hunting Farosh.
The one time I saw Farosh, I was chasing after him to try to get a horn in. He went into a sky vortex and disappeared.
Yes, he does that. All of them do that, actually. Usually after you hit them, you need two of each of the dragon's horns for that. And, like, that would be an acceptable amount. But other armor need horns, and some of the armor needs scales, some needs claws, and it's just kind of like this endless thing. And, like, I want to complete my compendium. But, to be fair, this is kind of the same problem I had in Skyrim, where... like, a lot of the time I put into that game was me going and finishing side quests and trying to uncover the map and stuff. It's self-imposed, but it can definitely get a little bit grindy if you're trying to complete all the side quests and whatnot, or, like, any of the side quests that you have. So, that's... and also, I am having a horrible time finding my last five shrines. Like, they're just... I have no idea where they are, and I think they're hidden, so the shrine sensor isn't going off. It's terrible. That said, it's awesome.
Have you used your Ganondorf amiibo in Breath of the Wild at all?
Yeah, he gives me a treasure chest that usually contains like 100 rupees.
Yeah, I know you can get his sword from Twilight Princess. from using the amiibo, but it is a random drop, so.
Huh. Okay, well, maybe I should use it more often. I kind of stopped doing it because, like, my inklings give me, like, a pile of fruit. I'm like, eh, that's not really worth it. But if the Ganondorf may eventually give me a sweet sword, maybe yep. I'll try to get a sweet sword.
The Zelda-specific ones give you more interesting items, but...
Although it's not a Zelda-specific one, it's a Smash amiibo?
Well, yes, but even those.
Okay.
If they are Zelda-related.
Gotcha.
Like, Twilight, or, like, Smash Link gives you Epona.
Oh, neat. I have Giant Horse. His name is Herschel.
Mine, I've got a blue horse that has almost Matt Stacks that I named Cobalt.
That's a pretty good one. Also, apparently, I forget where it was. I think Alex was looking up, like, a list of rideable mounts or something. So you get that white horse early on that's, like, a side quest.
I don't actually have it. I saw it, but I couldn't, like, tame it. So I was like, I'll come back to this later.
It requires, like, a bar and a half of stamina or something to that effect. So you can accomplish it by eating a stamina thing.
I have enough stamina. I just couldn't get... I think I, like, had to paraglide onto him to catch him, and that had gotcha. Used it up.
So I caught him, and I named him Shadowfax. And on this random guide that Alex was looking for, they also named theirs Shadowfax. So I'm like, well, damn it.
Gee, it's almost like he's the most well-known white horse in fiction.
That was actually the third one that we came up with. I'm like, what are our iconic white horse names? And I decided I liked Shadowfax better than the other couple that I came up with. I can't even remember what they were now.
Captain Unicorn.
Shadowfax is probably the most well-known, though.
Speaking of Lord of the Rings, it has nothing to do with our assignment, which was Postal 2. Should I retake that? Yes. Can I think of anything else? No.
Open worlds? Explorable.
Is Postal 2 really an open world?
Kind it is of? Open-ish.
It's an open town, I guess. World is certainly a stretch.
It's a dinky.
So we played Postal 2, a game, I guess, best known for controversy, although I feel like the developers kind of courted some of that.
That's pretty much all it is, though, unfortunately.
Well, I mean, I feel like because Postal 1 was controversial, they had to have known that Postal 2 would be that way.
Still, it's like they tried to piss people off.
Yeah, no, I think that's entirely the point.
Well, the thing is, like, earlier in the episode, I mentioned that Persona 5's, at least the first
Persona
castle,
game,
covers, like, mature content. This one is a mature rated game, too, but it feels like a 16-year-old's edgy tantrum.
Yeah, it seems like a major mechanic of this game is waiting behind people in line with the idea that you will get fed up and shoot them. Which just, I have no interest in that at all. None. Like, I'm sure when I was younger, I leaned into my mom and said, why is it taking so long? I wish we could kill these people. But I've never actually thought that. Like, so to the point where even in a video game, when they're like explicitly being annoying to provoke me, like, it's just like, I get enough of this in real life. Why am I doing this in a fantasy world?
I waited in line and I'm like, oh, this is actually kind of, you know, not fun.
But amusing?
But amusing in a weird way because I'm doing, especially because of what Jeremy mentioned, they will deliberately do things to try and provoke you, like take forever to get through anything. But standing in line and basically being like, yeah, I'm doing exactly the opposite of what the developer thought I'd be doing right here gave me an odd sense of amusement.
To be fair, their tagline on the game is, it's only as violent as you are.
But the game itself wasn't really all that fun.
Like, even if you played it the way they expected you to?
Because the shooting mechanics built into the game are really sloppy. There's no real weight or feeling of punch to the guns when you're using them. It, like, you know, when in Doom, when you fired the shotgun, you felt...
Yeah, like the recoil feels like, realistic.
I mean, you weren't aiming it, but like you'd fire it and the enemies would react to it. And, you know, then you work the slide and it's like, yeah, I feel
yeah, it has
like
weight,
I'm doing
right?
something. This one, you fire the shotgun and it's just like moves up a couple of inches and makes like a slightly booming noise. The machine gun sounds like somebody firing spitballs.
And in Doom, even though Doom has no story, you are playing a guy fighting demons. That's like immediately compelling. And they're like kind of coming after you
with sweet rock music.
And this, you play Postal Guy. A guy in an unhappy marriage who, I cannot see why he married this woman. Also, we never see this woman. it's like sub Everybody Loves Raymond's level of marital jokes. Who took a job as a game developer and then gets fired on his first day, although somehow still gets paid for it.
Well, I think it's implied that it's not actually his first day, which is why he got paid.
He literally says, I've only been here a day when he gets fired. Oh. You have like these mundane tasks, like on the first day, you've got to pick up your check, cash your check, and buy some milk. You can just end up stealing the milk, so I'm not sure why just going in and stealing the milk isn't a valid solution to the day, but...
I accidentally walked into an employees-only door in that area and was immediately attacked by...
Wait, why would you be attacked for that?
I was shot at by a bunch of, I guess, like, religious... I want to say Indian.
Oh yeah,
stereotype. Ish.
No,
people.
he's explicitly Middle Eastern. That's one of my least customable things with that. Is you buy jihad brand milk and he calls you infidel, and it's just real uncomfortable stereotype stuff to me. Like that's what I was more uncomfortable with, aside from the violence stuff, which is like I said, you work at a video game developer. When you go in, there are people protesting violent games, and then, actually, they're violent people, and they all pull guns after you get paid and, like, storm the video game developer. And, like, they're the main bad guys? I mean, there are some others, but, like, at the beginning, it's just, it's not very funny, it comes off as real petty and immature.
Day two, you have a petition that is labeled, petition to make whiny congressmen play violent video games. And even more so than what Jeremy just mentioned, that felt really petty. I mean, I did kind of enjoy the trying to get people to sign the petition minigame type thing where you just walk up to people and click on them, I think.
Because there are some amusing snippets of dialogue.
Yeah,
right?
By the third time, if they aren't going to sign it, they'll run away from you because the third time you do it is a threat. But
yeah, that sounds okay.
Other than that, yeah, I was like, oh, that sounds okay. It's, huh? But it just sounded really petty, and the rest of it just isn't fun. Like, you go return a book on day two to a library, and ignorant people who want to save a tree burn a book. That's actually the chant. I had to listen to it as I tried to find the office to return the book for a while. Run into the building and start burning it down and shooting at you. I don't even know. Like, when I thought this game was going to be more fun because I had the rosy, you know, when I was 17 or 16, this was fun because I was a stupid kid. And, you know, but looking at it now, GTA is actually more culturally aware. GTA!
To be fair, this is so aggressively countercultural, I kind of feel like it speaks to, like, rebellious teenagers, right? Like, I feel like that's a target audience for this game.
Yeah, it's that classical immature thing where if you're old enough to play it, you don't care about it.
Yeah.
Which, luckily, in the year of 2017... we're getting less and less of that because it doesn't sell very well. And also immature people can just go on the internet and see all sorts of content there where there's no one to stop them. It's not very fun gameplay wise. And I didn't find it very funny at all. And I kind of like black humor type stuff. I was just thinking, how would South Park do this better? Because I can easily imagine a South Park episode about violent video games, right?
I feel like they've even done one, and it was pretty good.
And, like, it would be a lot of these same ideas, but there would be, like, you know, more humor to it.
I got chuckles out of the petition thing, but the rest of it, like, I was trying on day one to be like, okay, yeah, I'm having fun, this is a shooting game. But when I finished returning the book on day two, I actually kind of sat back and went, I'm not actually having fun. This isn't fun. This is just, I'm actually annoyed.
I think if they went with a more like Psychonauts or Earthbound feel to this and like everything was trying to kill you as you did these, you know, super normal mundane things, that might have more of a hook to it.
Like, instead of trying to play it like this is the real world,
yeah,
have it where like your character is in kind of some kind of parallel reality.
Or just so, like a cartoon reality where like he's the only one commenting on how weird it is that like milk is flying at him trying to kill
like
him.
Or like at the library books try to kill him or something.
Or like even if you didn't make it that weird, having people like, actually attacking him and your character making those reactions. What is going on? All these people were normal a couple of days ago. Now they're all trying to kill me for, I don't even understand.
Because I'm in a video game.
I must have fallen asleep at work or something like that. You know, actually, you could do that with like the Comic Zone aspect of things where like you go, every so often you'll go out into a loading screen and your guy's actually asleep at his desk.
But there's just no hook to this. It's not fun. And I don't think it's very funny or amusing. Certainly not enough that I wanted to see the next jokes.
if I want a mundane gameplay thing, I own Harvest Moon 64. I own Stardew Valley. I own better mundane task simulators.
Well, and they've got better gameplay loops. Like, there isn't really a gameplay loop in this?
Yeah, there's not. Like, I was trying to figure out what it was, but you're right. There's no, like, reward to anything exactly. you do.
There's not a reward system.
I went and did this. Why? Because I was supposed to go do this. If I wanted that, I can. I have that as a life. And the actual shooting, like, shooting people that show up and try and attack you, that's not fun in the same way it is in Doom or Halo.
And
or
it's not cathartic in the way that GTA is. Like, in GTA, it can be fun to just, like, kill a bunch of people and try to escape the police. Because this doesn't have the same thing.
Because there's challenge, and this game kind of doesn't have much challenge. Because
you can amp up the police response. Like, the longer you go, the harder it gets to get away. I got to maximum wanted level because bank robbers storm in after you cash your check, and I shot the bank robbers, and then the cops tried to arrest me, and I promptly shot them both and left. And then, without really trying to, I dropped the entire wanted level. Okay. I dropped the entire thing.
So, I want to talk about the achievements in this game real quick. Two things I want to talk about. And this isn't really a strike against the game. They were added for the Steam remake, which is recent. This is a thing that bothers me. I don't think it's a bad thing. It just really bothers me. Most of the achievements are cultural references to things that came out after this game. Like, there's a Superbad reference. And Superbad isn't a recent thing. But Superbad was not out in 2004 either. So it's just like a weird...
There's a reference to somebody and kind of one of the disgusting achievements that I picked up by accident.
That's the other thing is,
this seems really petty.
There's a mechanic for unzipping your pants and peeing on people in this game.
It's mapped to R on the keyboard. I was trying to reload.
Or B on the 360 controller. So Zach had an achievement I noticed for pissing in somebody's mouth until they puke. So I want to hear this story, Zach.
That was what it was. I was in the library while it was on fire. I was trying to reload, but because this game doesn't have a reload mechanic, somebody came around the corner as I was trying to, you know, get the gun back out, but I hit the button too many times. And so I tried to open fire, and I did. But not in the fashion I meant to.
So I actually had a bunch of technical problems with this game. Neither of these guys did, so I think it was localized to me. One of them was I could not get the banker to accept my check. So I ended up just keeping, like, zipping and unzipping in front of her. And it was very frustrating that I was doing this, like, thing I would never accidentally do in real life.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, I actually had a similar situation because I couldn't get her to accept the check. I ended up kicking her by accident. She ran off.
I eventually pulled my gun on her, and then I reloaded.
So I wandered off, and then I wandered back, and then she would take it, which I thought was really frustrating because I was pushing the buttons. I was standing in the same place. I didn't stand someplace different. She just wouldn't accept it the first time.
So is there anything else we have to say about this? I wouldn't let my kids play it, but also I don't think they would want to. So I think it's a abhorrent message, but it's also so incompetently delivered that I can't really be mad at it.
I spent 99 cents on it, and honestly, I don't even think it was really worth that. I think it's better than a few games we have on our list that we're going to go over now, but like, it's too crude for its own good.
Well, it's not a game, first and foremost. Well, okay, let me rephrase that. They did not make it succeed as a game, first and foremost, so it doesn't really matter what message is lined underneath, right? Like, it's, one, the message isn't really reinforced by the gameplay, and two, the gameplay is pretty minimal. So, I don't know. It was kind of a slog, but they released DLC for it, so, I don't know.
Yeah, added a couple more days or something like that.
Like I said, this seems like the sort of thing that would be amusing when you're like a teenager or something. They're like, yeah, screw the government and screw society and stuff, I guess.
All right. So, as Zach alluded to, we have a list on our website at www.lasttimeonvideogames.com listing all the games we've played from best to worst. At the top is Chrono Trigger, a game that starts with you doing mundane things for. At the bottom is Echo the Dolphin, a game I also find pretty boring. And in the middle is Super Dodgeball, a game about a mundane thing, but...
But in an entirely not mundane manner, because I can't throw flaming dodgeballs in real life.
You can't?
So I want to start real low on the list. I want to start comparing it to Mortal Kombat, another game that's known for its controversy. Do you guys have a place you'd rather start? Because I really don't think it's comparable to any of the first-person shooters you've played.
No, it's nowhere even close to those games.
I mean, to be fair, they're both games that initially gained notoriety based on their, like, general controversy and like people were considering banning this?
Initially, my first reaction, the gut reaction, was Postal's better than Mortal Kombat. But having thought about it a bit more, Mortal Kombat, while it was deeply flawed, actually has a better gameplay loop because there actually is a reward for success and mastery.
I was going to say, Mortal Kombat is a bad clone of Street Fighter that I don't like. But it's a way better clone of Street Fighter than this is of like GTA 3, for example. And like, I don't like Mortal Kombat, but it has an aesthetic. It has, you know, some color to it. It has characters that are memorable, even if I don't really care for them.
It certainly has a better legacy, given that it sticks around.
So, not that I would argue it for going above, but the one thing that Postal 2 does have in over Mortal Kombat is there's a lot more content, and the, like, thought went into the more content. It's maybe not content I think I want to experience, but there's content.
Yeah, well, I was thinking about that too, but I think just based on the fact that it actually has a gameplay loop.
Yeah, no, I think Mortal Kombat is a more competent game. It's slightly more enjoyable. Postal 2 was mostly just boring.
So this is going to be a weird comparison, but there's not a lot below Mortal Kombat to compare it to. But another game that we found kind of boring was Phantasy Star 2. Huh. So how do we think it compares there? Again, I'm tempted to say Phantasy Star 2 is better just because I like the character design in it. So at least that's something. But I don't feel super strongly about that.
I got to say, I think Postal 2 is better than Phantasy Star, partly due to a technical side of things, because it has not a very good open world or a very large one, but it does have one, as well as an AI system running the people in it. And on top of that, while it does have its problems, the mechanics usually work right, and you can tell where you're supposed to go. Phantasy Star 2 is so obtuse and hard to figure out what you're supposed to be doing exactly.
But it's got that cool anime aesthetic. As you know, it has... As you know, you can equip an iron rod on your cat girlfriend.
That is true, but... I mean, I think Postal 2 is better than Phantasy Star.
And I don't really feel super strongly one way or the other.
But you went last, so you have to choose.
Yeah, I know. This is the price I pay for hesitating. You know, at the end of the day, I would probably have to give it to Postal 2. I think there is more game there.
Okay. I don't think there's good game there, but I do think there is game there.
About between those games is going to be Super Empire Strikes Back, that Star Wars platformer we loved so much.
It had tauntauns.
I think I prefer Super Empire Strikes Back, if only because lightsabers are cool. I know that sounds petty, but that's not exactly what I mean. It's got like it put thought into its like lightsaber combat stuff, and even though the game doesn't really work, it feels like it works better than Postal as a shooter.
You actually kind of jumped me. I was actually going to say, I don't think it's much better than Cruisin' USA. So given that Cruisin' USA is two below Super Empire Strikes Back, I think you're right.
Okay. Any thoughts, Tyler?
No, I agree. I mean, and if nothing else, Super Empire Strikes Back, I think, was an improvement over the original in terms of mechanics, maybe not in terms of like actual gameplay.
All right. So below Cruisin' USA, we may go up from here. We may have to compare it to Cruisin' USA, but I think Operation Wolf is a bit more comparable. That's that bad game that had a light gun element, but you didn't have to use it.
You can throw your grenades at chickens to get more grenades.
I think Operation Wolf is more novel, though, because you could use a light gun to play it.
Yeah, but it's hard to say. I want to say Operation Wolf is worse, but I don't know that I can actually say a whole lot about it because we didn't play it on a light gun. So based on how we played it, the controls were clunky. It was hard to discern what was going on. I got to give it to Postal 2 on a technical aspect again.
I mean, to be like, lots of things had done what Operation Wolf had done. Postal 2, I don't like, is, well, I mean, not really unique because Grand Theft Auto, but it's unique in its message.
It's unique in something.
So let's compare it to Cruisin' USA then. Zach, you sounded like you had thoughts about it.
I think Cruisin' USA is better. It's got a better gameplay loop. I mean,
it's more fun.
It's more fun to cruise through the USA going through these different tracks. There were some problems elsewhere in it, but honestly, it was more fun.
So the final question becomes, is it better or worse than Baseball for Game Boy? Really bad baseball game?
Yeah, no, it was like a bad port of the original Baseball for NES, right?
Basically.
I really don't like either one, but I don't think Baseball for the Game Boy works quite the way you want it to. Because if I remember that one right, the AI was either so bad that it would
It was kind of too good. It was the other way around.
Okay. I couldn't remember if this was the one that was really, really bad or really, really good.
Yeah, we played too many old baseball games.
It was so good that you couldn't really compete, because if you made even one minor, minuscule mistake, it'd be over the wall in the back.
There's at least a challenge level there.
That's not a challenge. That's just frustratingly curb stomping difficult. You into next week, and frustratingly difficult, and not in a good way. Not in a fair way.
I understand your point, Zach, but the purpose of baseball for Game Boy was to have something to do in the car, right? And I'm imagining I'm on a car ride. I'm going to Nevada. It's a 20-hour car ride. I can have a thing to amuse me while it. Would I rather have baseball for Game Boy or Postal 2? And I cannot imagine Postal 2. Baseball for Game Boy, at least I'm going to try to get good. It's got a multiplayer mechanic to it that might be more interesting. It's definitely going to fix that AI problem. I don't think either is good either, but I think I would prefer baseball.
I don't know if that's necessarily a fair comparison, though, because Postal 2 isn't on a handheld.
Well, no, it's not, but I'm thinking if I could magically have it. I'm not saying it's a handheld, I could use it in a car, so it's better.
I'm saying
if I could, like, through magic, be playing Postal 2 or baseball on my Game Boy, I would prefer baseball.
Maybe it's because I've played better baseball games, much better baseball games. If I had to pick between baseball for the Game Boy or Postal 2, locked in a room test, I'd probably take Postal 2.
Yeah, I would too, simply because of the sheer amount of content in that game. I could probably, if I had to, develop unique tastes on which person I wanted to stalk for a week until the Armageddon happens. By the way, I don't think any of us got to the apocalypse, right?
I didn't. So.
I got to Tuesday. Tuesday feels like an apocalypse sometimes.
I got through most of Tuesday.
All right, so Postal 2 will go at number 188, above Baseball for Game Boy, but below Cruisin' USA.
Yeah, it belongs there.
Slightly higher than I expected.
Really can see the bottom of the list without a telescope.
All right, so Tyler, what are we going to play next week?
Well, all this talk about Postal has really got me down, so it's time to cheer us up by throwing a party, a Mario Party, and we're not inviting Luigi.
I actually almost bought a copy of the original Mario Party. I was in GameStop looking for an amiibo, actually, before I decided to order them online, because I'd seen some of the Breath of the Wild ones there. They didn't have them. They'd sold out. But they had just a case with some N64 games. And I was like, how much are GoldenEye and Mario Party? And like, GoldenEye is $15. Mario Party is $45.
Oh,
like,
wow.
I want to be the person who owns GoldenEye now.
they had actual N64 games at GameStop.
Yeah, in like a case. They had some GameCube and PlayStation 2 ones too, but nothing in it.
Yeah, the one at my local mall actually has a couple N64 games.
The ones near me, I don't think.
Well,
have
this was
those.
The one near our house, but it was like a new one.
Yeah, because I've never seen that. It's also been here since I've been in there.
But anyway, the original Mario Party is not available through any sort of reasonable digital distribution. So instead, we're going to do Mario Party 2. I think the one that introduces the Wild West duel.
It is.
Minigame.
This adds a lot of cool stuff. I wish we could play one, but Nintendo is never re-releasing that. So
so basically what Tyler's saying is we're all going to hate each other after this.
Uh-huh. I'm going to steal all your stars, and it's going to be great. So next time on Last Time,
duel.
This has been a production of Last Time on Video Games, copyright 2017. For the conceptually impaired, all video games and other media mentioned herein are copyright their respective owners. If you'd like to get in touch with us, drop us a line at ltobg@lasttimeonvideogames.com. Or hit us up on our website, www.lasttimeonvideogames.com, where you can find an archive of all the old episodes, in addition to a bunch of written material. Apocalypse Tomorrow. Game over. Unless you buy the DLC.
Why are you showing me a picture log?
Because that is the finest coffee in the world, Zach.